to John chapter 17. John chapter 17, and beginning with verse 1. John chapter 17, verse 1. John chapter 17, hold your place in John 17. John 17, verse 1, please. John 17, verse 1. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me, watch this, out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Go to verse 9, please, if you would. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. Go to verse 13, please. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak, here it is again, in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Take a look at verse 15. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Verse 21, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be in us, that the world might believe that thou hast sent me. Now, let me talk to you just for a couple of seconds here about the world and the local church. The world and the local church. And let's pray. Father, help me now to help in these next few moments. I'm so grateful for the great spirit of the delegates and the folks that have listened. And there's obviously been a wonderful spirit here this week. And so I ask you now to help me to help, please. In Jesus' name, I beg for your presence. Amen. You may be seated. In this passage, over half of the verses deal with the word world. Now, the word world is a word, cosmos, as you know, in the Greek. And cosmos means world order or world arrangement. In John 17:21, we have the purpose of the local church is, as Jesus said to the Father in verse 21, that the world, don't miss it, that the world may believe. Now, there are several words for the word world that are found in Scripture. For example, the word dirt or soil. The word nations can be attached to that word. Then world order or system or arrangement. Now, jot this down. 1 John 2:15. In 1 John 2:15, he is referring to not love the world. He's referring love not eating, drinking, love not buying, selling, and marrying. Nothing wrong with these things, but we are not to love them. In the same light, we misunderstand then the role of each local church in the world. There are two kingdoms in this world. There is the cosmos, the world order, the world system. And then there's God's kingdom. So you've got two kingdoms at work here. You've got this cosmos, this world kingdom, and then you have God's kingdom. Now everything is a part of the cosmos. You can't ignore that. Everything's a part of it except the local church. God never intended for these two kingdoms to be one. Never. God never intended for them to be one. Your home, your house, your daily activities, going to work, doing what you've got to do, and dealing with banks and businesses and all that you have to do is a part of our lives. But God never intended for these two kingdoms to be the same. God wanted there to be an ecclesia, a called out body of baptized believers that has nothing to do with the cosmos or the world system or the world order. A taste of heaven, if you please. So when God calls us out of the world, there's no place to go except to the local church. Now, let me give you several thoughts. God calls us out of the world, then turns around and commands us to go back into the world. So He calls us out. Then He turns, while we're out, we're instructed and we're taught to go back into the world. Not in the sense of loving the world, but you are trapped with the activities and the arrangement that must go on day by day. Your people are and you are, and that is a part of God's plan. God doesn't intend for you to be a monk on a hill somewhere and meditate all the time and let the world die and go to hell. Guy came into my office. He said, I've got to quit this job. I've got to tell you right now, it's too much cussing on the job. And I've got to find me a place where they don't cuss. And I said to him, would you please tell me a place where you can go and foul language is not used? He said, well, Pastor, I guarantee it's never used in your office. I said, I'll let you be a little mouse and come in and sit in there sometime when people come in and I sit down and I talk to them. Man, I have new church members that come in and say, blank. And the guy looked at me and he said, Pastor, not in your office. I said, no, it's in Brother Zinn's office, but it's not my office. God calls us out of the world and then turns around and commands us to go back in the world. So, all right, now, God is saying there are two places we can be. The cosmos, buying gas, driving a car, cleaning the house, cooking meals, doing the lawn, dealing with business deals. And so that cosmos. Now, the second place that we can be is the local New Testament church. And we cannot grow outside of being without being called out. You can't grow. If you stay in the other kingdom, you're not going to grow. So you have to come out. There has to be a time where you come out on Wednesday night. You come out of the world on Sunday morning. You come out of the world on Sunday night. And you have a man of God stand up and say, let me tell you about a place where you're going to live forever and how that place is conducted and how we're supposed to conduct ourselves. We are ambassadors. We've got to represent our Heavenly Father. And when we go back into the world, we are an ambassador for Christ. So God calls us out of the world, turns around, and commands us to go back in. God is saying there are two places we can be. We can be either in the world or we can be in the local church. And on Sunday morning, I'm not in the world. On Sunday night, I'm not in the world. Wednesday night, I'm not in the world. Thursday, we show up for soul winning, and Friday, soul winning, and Saturday, soul winning. And Sunday, at those times, we come to assembly. We're not in the world. Now, God would not have established His local church if this job could have been done somewhere else. God would have never established the New Testament. I'm so often I hear, well, you know, God established the home first. Well, He must have figured you weren't doing a very good job because He started a New Testament church. Now, somebody say amen. So, God calls us out of the world, and then turns right around and commands us to go back into the world. then God is saying there are two places we can be. We can either be in the world or we can be in the church. Now, when we come into our local church, we come into our local church, the man of God then helps us, teaches us, prepares us to go back out into the world so that we're not isolated, but we're insulated. You crazy nuts that go out on the job and act like you're better than everybody on the job, you're not going to win those folks to Christ. You're not going to do it. Now, I wouldn't stand there and listen to a dirty joke. The truth is, you ought to get you some good jokes and dominate with good jokes. But don't be a holier-than-thou type of an attitude when you're with people. It's not going to work. Okay. All right. God calls us out of the world. Then He turns around and commands us to go back into the world. God is saying there are two places we can be, cosmos or the local church. And God would have, if God would not have established the local church, if there were a better way for us to do this. He did not establish anything else for us to have preaching and the teaching and the organization so that we can evangelize and get people saved and do the work that we're supposed to do. Now, the church and the home both have a place in the training of children. However, the local church is the place we all go. When you come out of the cosmos and become a part of Jesus' ecclesia. Now, there's two reasons Jesus sends us back into the cosmos. That the world may believe. He sends you right back out there so that the world may believe. And number two, that the world may know that thou hast sent me. That's what he said in the scripture. So we go back into the world so that they might believe. That's the reason we're out there. I say, you pastor, you have 15 presentations of the gospel. Somebody said to me last year, that's impossible in 1 week. That's impossible. Well, it is when you wait till Saturday. You know, you do have Monday. You do have Tuesday. Come on, talk to me now. You do have Wednesday. You do have Thursday. As I said to the pastor a while ago, you're exactly like you were in college. You wait till the last minute to do everything you do. Sunday morning you're saying, oh God, there's got to be a sermon in this sword somewhere. Okay. Now, we must come out of the world to gain strength to go back into the world that the world may believe. So when you come here and you sleep during a sermon, or you walk the hallway during the sermon, are you in the nursery on purpose to miss the preaching? Somebody help me. You're not going to get the strength that you need in order to go back out there and to be able to face what you've got to face that they might believe. The problem is you don't get any strength and they are convincing you to stay in their world rather than you convincing them to come into God's world, and I'll wait till you say amen. That's why some people go on the job and the music comes and all that comes on. And they didn't gain the strength at local church with the preaching and teaching the Word of God. And next thing you know, they start dialing on the radio down their car. Next thing you start doing, they start going with these guys to a bar, start doing some stupid things with their life. Why? Because they didn't get the strength in God's kingdom, in God's Word, in that local church, so that they could be out and go back out and do what God commands them to do. Somebody say amen. God is not calling us out of the world permanently. That's not happened yet. You wait till that trumpet sound. Wait till that shout takes place. And the dead in Christ, that's some of you, raised first. You wait till that happens. God is not calling us out of the world permanently. God is not calling us to go permanently into the world. So He's not only permanently not calling us out, but He is not on purpose permanently sending us in permanently. God is calling us out to go to our church, to gain strength, to go back into the world that they may believe. That's why. Don't you say your church, well, I understand why you can't make it. It's not, you know, I understand. You get no. You say to them, this is important. And well, my son had it happens here sometimes. Our son had a rained out a baseball game, and the only time they could play it is on Wednesday night. And we don't want to, you know, we made a promise. Yeah. Well, Jesus gave you some promises too, 2,000 years ago. Get yourself in church. Kids ought not work on Wednesday night. Kids ought not work on Sunday. Kids ought not work on Sunday night. Or be in church. Somebody say amen. My daughter Kimberly worked, I can't think of the name of the place, merchandise. What was the name of that place? Service merchandise. In fact, we had, I think, five or six of our young people working in service merchandise, and the fellow that ran it called them together one day and said, now we have an inventory this Sunday, and I'll expect you here at 10 o'clock. So stores are going to be shut down. We're going to have inventory for 3 hours. So my daughter called me and said, Dad, what do I tell him? I said, well, tell him you're going to church. She went back and told him you're going to church. And the guy said to her, if you do, you're fired. My daughter called me and said, he's going to fire me. Said, nah, he ain't going to fire you. Don't you worry about a lick. You just tell him you ain't going to be there. And if he fires you, I'll be down there. So then she called me back. She said, well, what do I tell the other five that are here? I said, they have to make up their own minds. They got to make up their own minds to do right and not do right. So one by one, they called me and said, preacher, what did I tell them? Tell me it ain't going to work. Tell me you're going to church. So he calls me. Pastor, we can't have inventory without your young people down here working. We can't even have an inventory. And I said, tough. My kids aren't going to work on Sunday. Not going to do that at all. I said, you figure out another time to have inventory. He said, well, I'll have to fire him. I said, you go ahead and fire him. And I said, you and I are going to have a rounder. He was a Jewish man. And he said, rounder? What's a rounder? I said, you don't want to know. You don't want to know. He changed the inventory. Where they did it at midnight, I think it was, so they'd get the inventory done. Now, I'm just saying, that's how important it is. So, now, there's no place, listen to this statement now, please listen to this, there's no place for the cosmos in the local New Testament church. This is what I'm telling you, there is no place for the cosmos in the local church. No place. If we do not go to the local church, we are worldly, because the only place that is not worldly is the local church. And when we bring the world into our church, right in this town, Marbley Baptist Church has got a guy named Jason Horn who is an American Idol finalist, and they are selling tickets for $10, and they're in a church. In God's dear name, what in the world is that? I wouldn't pay a singer. I wouldn't pay a quartet. Somebody help me. I wouldn't pay them. Bless God, you've got some good people in your church. They ought to learn to play that piano and play that organ and learn how to sing. You ought to raise up your own. And come on, help me now. Why don't you do something in your church? Do it right. Do it first class. Teach your people not talent, but character, and watch them grow in the Lord. Got no business. Now, I say this ecclesia, this called out body of baptized believers, God intended for it to be a piece of heaven. I love our the way we sing this. I love the hymns. I love the old hymns. And I love the love that our staff and people have for the old hymns. I'm not going to have some big screens up here and a bouncing ball. These big screens, they Mitch Miller. Remember Mitch? Where's Rick? Remember Mitch? The bouncing ball? You're too young, don't you? But the song, the bouncing ball up there. Screens are distracting. When you sit there, you look at the screen, look at the preacher, look at the screen, look at the preacher. No, look at the preacher. I sat in an auditorium when Dr. Jack Hiles preached, and I sat in the balcony, and I loved every minute of it, and I was focused on that man of God while he preached. We've let the charismatics and the world influence us. Yeah, we got to watch it. We got to be careful. Well, that's the way we do it. Don't spit in our food. Many Christians do not love sin, but they do love the world, and do not come out of the world to church. Jesus was praying, John 17, for the local church. Why? So the cosmos will get the message. When the cosmos' message gets to the church, you've got no message to give to the cosmos. That's why it's important that your people dress right in the world and walk right in the world and talk right in the world. And we at this church here, we pay our bills. And we don't pay them on time. We pay them ahead of time. Because I'm not going to knock on the door of some businessman in town and try to give him the gospel. And he says, well, you dirty crook. What are you telling me how to be saved? You don't even pay your bills. I'm talking to people in this room. You do not pay your personal bills. You have no credit in the cosmos. You have no credibility in the cosmos. And something has got to happen to where this integrity, this down deep inside, gut-wrenching thing that says, I've got to do right. I must do right. Because when I get out there, I've got to deliver the message that they might believe. And if we don't do that, then what happens is the cosmos gets in the world and the church is so worldly that you can't get the gospel out to them. I missed this 40 days of purpose. I had an older brother who's a deacon in a Baptist church. They had it. They met in homes for 40 days on Sunday night. Didn't have church. When they got ready to come back to church, guess what happened? Half the crowd showed up. You know what happened? They discovered there was television on Sunday night. They discovered there were other things they could do, and no longer they didn't feel guilty about not going. Guess what happened to their Wednesday night crowd? Huh? Died. My brother told me, he said, I'm ashamed. He said, I thought we had more character than this. The truth is, they didn't have right teaching. Somewhere in here, look, the Bible example is Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Now try that on. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. There ought to be a place where we come and some godly lady gets up and sings a good old gospel hymn and we shout amen and praise God and we don't worry about the bills and the sickness and all the world. There ought to be a place where we come and we get a little foretaste of heaven and we shout. Did you see Brother Hudson cut loose last night? Some of you guys looked at him like, what's the matter with him? And I was looking at you and saying, what's the matter with you? You are so worldly. I'm not talking about getting drunk. I'm talking about worldly. You know, there's a difference. We tag worldliness with adultery and drunkenness and being a dopehead. But you can be worldly and be a preacher. You ever two preachers preach on prayer and one of them makes you want to go out in the woods and find a spot to pray and the other guy preaches the same message, same outline on prayer and you sleep through it? When are you guys going to understand that if your example doesn't match your exhortation, the Holy Ghost is not going to show up? You see? There's time for soul winning. Well, I'll be praying for y'all while y'all go out because I've got a very important counseling appointment and I'm not going to be able to go tonight. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Or do your layman stand up and say, how come the preacher goes alone on Thursday night? So when was he doing that? You know, if you took somebody with you, you might have to see somebody get saved. We have to understand there's two kingdoms here. There's the world and there's the church. Local church. And we are to come out of nothing wrong with buying and selling. There's dead sure nothing wrong with eating. I need a witness. Come on, help me now, but that's right. Nothing wrong with eating. But wait a minute now. You've got to come out. Nothing wrong with buying. Ask my wife. So there's the world. Now we come out of the world. We come on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. We've got to have strength. Got that. So we get that strength to do what? Go back in the world that they might believe. Then what do? We come back out of the world again, get some more strength. Why? So we go back out there and convince them. Soul winning is not getting somebody saved. It's what I'm about to say. Soul winning is not getting anybody saved. It's just not soul losing. What you do is you lead them to Christ. Christ does the saving. So your job is to win them over to the Savior. And when you win them over to the Savior, I know what the Savior will do. He'll accept anybody. I'm not sure what the sinner's going to do, but I'm to convince, or adorn the gospel. I'm supposed to convince him to trust the Savior. I hope this helped you. I'm ready to eat. You ready to eat? You ready to go to lunch? Okay. You ready? Stand up. Let's sing our theme song and we'll let you go. Let my people go.
All right, we'll sing it a cappella together. We can raise it up as high as we want. Here we go, together. Let me tell you of someone who loves me. Let me tell you who I'm singing of. Christ gave me His life as my ransom. Praise God for this wonderful love. My first love is Jesus, my Savior. For me He left heaven above. So I'll sing of the grace that forgave me. I'll tell the lost world that He saved me. I'll share the good news that He gave to me. And I'll not forget my first love.
All right, you're dismissed. Be back here. 120, 120, 120, 120, 120.